This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all on this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast, on Instagram at botfpodcast, or email info@botfpodcast.com. So we're here with Annie Quinnell. She is the host of the Unstoppable Solo Mom podcast. She's also the founder of themamamentor.com, and her passion is to mentor single moms. And I've been really encouraged by her website and by her podcast. Go check it out. The links will be in my show notes. And her line is, you don't have to do this alone. And I think that's true for all types of moms, but especially for single moms. And I was looking through your stuff and realized that I had asked you the question about mentoring. And I didn't even realize that you had the mamamentor.com after I asked the question. So I feel like that was totally a God-led question. I'm really excited about this conversation. Annie, thank you so much for taking the time in this crazy busy time of life with trying to get back to real life during this COVID craziness. And so thank you for spending time with us. So can you tell me a little bit about your mama journey, becoming a mama?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Jenna. It's a privilege to be here and talking with you tonight. My mama journey begins when I got married at a very young age at 20 and was married 5 years before my first daughter was born. I had known I always wanted children, but being so young, it was good to have some time as a married couple. When she was born, it seemed like everything was perfect and beautiful and lovely. I wanted another one. My cycle stopped completely, so that made conceiving very difficult, and I spent the next 2.5 years going from doctor to doctor to see if there was anything wrong. And now looking back, I was so sure that there was something wrong with my body, why it wasn't functioning normal so that I could conceive another child. But now looking back, I see that it was God's plan and his ways are higher than our ways. And the fact that I was married to a recovering alcoholic, and it was very turbulent at the time my first daughter was born. That's when he became sober. So my mama journey begins with that drama. The stress of all that is what I believe was why I had no cycle to conceive another child, because they couldn't find one thing wrong with my physiological body, biology, nothing. But I was pretty determined at that point to conceive and have another child. With light intervention, my second daughter, Tegan, was born. So they're 4.5 years apart. You know, I was working 3 days a week as a hairstylist and was married. Life was good. Had 2 children. Firstborn was compliant and lovely and girly. And the second daughter was a tomboy, and she was wild child. And I wasn't so sure that God knew what he was doing. I wasn't sure that I was equipped to be her mother or her parent, because she challenged me at every turn. And so when the girls were probably 8 and 13 is when I became a solo mom. And that's when everything changed.
I can't imagine having teenage and preteen girl and having to navigate through that.
Yeah, it was really challenging. But I remember the moment. It was a chaotic, obviously, when any sort of tragedy happens or when a family is blown apart, which is how I felt in that moment. I felt like a bomb had gone off in my soul when he said he was not happy and he was leaving. It was not what I had planned. I planned to live happily ever after, no matter what, for better, for worse. So I thought, okay, God, so this is worse. So things will get better. So I was always looking at the bright side. I was always, nothing's perfect and no marriage is perfect. So I just kept trying and trying. And in the end, he left. And then I'm left parenting. And the one thing I knew in that moment was that these children, they didn't ask for this. So they are innocent bystanders to someone else's choices. And so the one thing I knew that they had was me. And they had a strong mother. Even though I felt weak in my circumstances, I knew that I was their rock, I was their security, and they were feeling the ground shake beneath them when their dad left. In that moment, I knew that this was not really about me and this other person, my husband at the time. This was really about me and God. God saying, okay, Annie, you got this. Like, you can do this. And I'm whining and crying and kicking and screaming. This isn't what I had planned. This isn't what I wanted. But it has proven to be what has made me who I am today. So I think it has a lot to do with your perspective on how you see things. And it took me a while. It was devastating. It took me a while to, you know, obviously you pick up the pieces and you know, the day-to-day is daunting. The responsibilities that one person has to do a two-parent job is overwhelming. And I know that every solo parent has different circumstances, but many are doing it by themselves with no support from the father, financially or physically, which was my case. In that, I thought, you know, I just clung to the truth that I knew. I couldn't cling to this other human, nor could I count on him, but I could count on God. And my faith grew stronger every day from that moment on.
So you went from feeling like the world was on your shoulders to being able to breathe a little bit by letting God take over. Was there like a moment where that happened, or did you just have to give him a little peace each day?
It was daily for sure. Yeah, it was daily. But I will say that was what got me through, was not feeling like I had the sole responsibility of this burden. So I was looking to my Heavenly Father, right, for direction, for wisdom, for comfort, for provision most days, for comfort. And that's where my peace came from, in the midst of some physical and circumstantial chaos.
So what, if you could pick your top two most stressful struggles that you went through being a single mom, what would you say they were?
Definitely, I come down to these two things, and they're kind of universal for solo moms, as I've had the ability to speak with many. It would be time, because you're one person and you don't have enough time in your day to accomplish all the things you need to for these children. So it's time and it's money, typically. For me, it was time and money. So I had one income where, you know, most families have two, or you have, you know, I had had two incomes and now I was down to one. That's the struggle. So our children and our needs were always met, for financially always met. Our wants were wants. They weren't always met. And we learned to navigate within what was necessary and what we needed, not what we wanted. So while other kids were getting the latest, greatest backpack, or the latest, greatest, you know, vacations, or the latest, greatest toy, my kids weren't. And, you know, they were happy all the same.
Like, it almost makes you more appreciative of the good things when it doesn't come easy.
I agree. And it's certainly, like I said, I wouldn't have chosen this road to be on, but I trust that God knew me and God knew my children and knew what we needed. Because I often thought later on, I thought, wow, it may be post, you know, they've grown now. And so maybe at the end, I was thinking, had I had two incomes and another person's input, because we were not on the same page parenting, possibly we would have indulged and enabled our children. And I didn't have that luxury. I was pretty strict, and they had a lot of boundaries. It wasn't easy, but they were appreciative of everything.
Did you have a mama mentor in all of this?
I did not. And that's where, you know, this desire to go back and help them comes from. I'll tell you this story. I thought in 2014, when my youngest had graduated college, I thought I could take the noose off around my neck, the financial noose that had been strangling me all these years and I had finally gotten through college tuition and all that. And I had a big house with a big mortgage. And I thought, oh, I can downsize and I can make my life a lot easier financially. She's all grown. I don't need this house. I can downsize and I don't have college tuition payments. And so I did all that and I downsized. And I really thought that life was going to be about me. I really thought, okay, God, now it's my turn. Now these kids are grown. I was faithful. You know, they're pretty decent kids. I thought, now the love of my life is just going to saunter in and sweep me off my feet. And that was my focus, as simple as that was, honest to say, that was how I thought. And it wasn't until like the next year in 2015, I think my daughter had come home and gotten a job here locally as a seventh grade Bible teacher at the local Christian school. And she was in the car with me. It was Black Friday. We had come back from shopping that evening. We were in the car and she shares this story with me about a student, a seventh grader. It was a boy who was a good boy. She said, but mom, my heart is breaking for this boy because we have to expel him. And I was called into the meeting with the principal and the parent. And she said, you know, he's good, but we can't handle his issues, his behavioral issues. You know, we just can't deal with him anymore. So we have to expel him. And she goes, but he's such a good boy. I fear what's going to happen when he's in a bigger environment in this big public school he'll have to go to. And then she said this, his mom is a single mom, but she's not like you. And I thought in that moment, I said, what? She's not like me? You mean, I thought that was as much as a compliment as I've ever gotten from her, that maybe something I did in my single mom journey was of value that she can now see. And so she said, mom, I wanted to give her your phone number. Maybe. And I said, well, you should have. And I thought that how it's, you know, kind of rustic, you know, just handing. So she didn't, because she didn't know she could. But in that moment, I felt the call to go back and help single moms. Because had I had a resource, which, you know, a book or a podcast or something to point this woman to, this solo mom, that she could find help, she could find encouragement, she could find another resource to not feel alone in her journey, because she was frazzled and the dad was not in the same state. She was struggling. This mother was struggling. And I know the struggle. And I thought, okay, God, I thought this was going to be my time to focus on me, but it's not. This is about me turning my journey into something good for someone else so that they may not have to struggle alone. So that's when the idea of the Mama Mentor was born.
Beauty from ashes, right?
Right. Yeah.
So what do you do with the Mama Mentor?
So I started locally to mentor solo moms here, because people know my journey and they know I'm a solo mom. And then I start to tell them. So I started the blog because I thought that that's one thing I know how to do. So I had someone help me build the website and start blogging. But as time has gone on, I did local classes here from my church on solo parenting classes, just as a resource, but it's low attendance because solo moms don't have time. You can't ask them to show up to another event. As much as they want to be there, there's too many things that get in the way. So it's low attended. And that's when it was last fall that I knew I have to reach them where they're at. I can't ask them to physically show up. So that's when I started, you know, God just put one thing after another in front of me to show me that it was either going to be a podcast or a YouTube channel. And since I don't like the camera, I thought the podcast would be an easier avenue. So that's when the Unstoppable Solo Mom was born as well. And in that, I've met so many great people and a woman that redid my website. So I offer mentoring through the website where we can do, it's a 1 hour call per week with Voxer messaging throughout the week as like support, is daily support, you know, or it could be a crisis support situation. But there's different packages on the website. So, and there's the blog is on the website and the podcast is on the website. It's just another resource that a mama can go to be supported.
Honestly, when I think about the biggest struggles of motherhood and the times that I am at my worst as a mom are the times that I feel like I'm completely alone, that I'm just constantly beating myself up and I don't open up and I don't have those people speaking life into my life. But as soon as I finally find someone who's willing to listen and just support me, just even be there, you don't even have to say anything like that, that just empowers so much. So I think that is so valuable of a resource that you are giving.
Yeah, I think we feel less alone if you just feel heard. It's often not so much what is being said, but I have the understanding from having lived out that journey. You know, I think that gives it some credibility and the support is welcomed for that reason.
So identity is a huge theme in my podcast. It didn't start off that way, but I'm realizing that it's an issue that I deal with a lot. And so it's kind of inked its way into all of my episodes. And I think as moms, especially, identity becomes so embedded in something with parenting or something with our children. Like it can be you want to prove you're a good mom because your children behave well, which I am not in that boat because I had to give up on that. Or the Pinterest mom or the mom that can look good despite the craziness or making your children your idols. Is there something that you specifically have struggled with yourself?
I can say this, like, so pre-solo parenting, I can relate to the struggle of feeling like you can get wrapped up in your children's identity in the sense that, like, I remember when the kids were in school and all these other kids were in all these honors classes and the pressure from the parents for these kids to be in honors classes, or I remember the school projects. I might be a little different because I let my kids do their own projects. We went and shopped it and we had all the supplies, but they had to come up with the idea and they did their own projects. And when one time I had this big aha moment, it was my first daughter's fifth grade science project or a fourth grade science project, something like that. And I remember just being just flabbergasted that these projects looked like professionals had done them. So certainly these didn't come from the children. And I was like, but my kids did their own. Okay, well, it looks like it. But you know what? They had a sense of accomplishment. So I didn't get wrapped up into the whole, oh, my kids are so smart. And that's where, you know, I'm so great because they're so smart. But I could see how that happens. But what I will say is where my identity gets a little skewed for sure is when I become a solo parent. You feel as a solo mom, you're alone. So you feel unworthy, unlovable. Some of those are common themes. What I've noticed with many solo moms is they try and find their identity in another man. So that's common. And I can see that was a fight. And when I tell you in 2015, when my daughters are all grown and I did not date while they were at home, I tried to keep that, even though I was divorced for a very long time, that wasn't the focus. I didn't want men around my daughters. I didn't want that to be something that they felt was more important than them. But the desire was still there. So the desire for my identity, for me to feel lovable again, because I felt unlovable because someone had left me. So this is a real struggle, I think, with all solo moms and their identity. So they just look to another man, let me find another man so that I can feel worthy. And so their identity becomes this other man. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You don't think about that. But I can imagine that wanting to prove that you're worthy is, it's a huge. And I feel like that's something that women in general struggle with. And then to have, in your case, where it's been a divorce situation that caused the single parenting, that could be, if you don't have Jesus, then I can't even imagine trying to navigate through that worth. If you don't have Jesus to anchor your value and your worth, then that just leaves you for a whole lot of hurt.
Right. And so typically what I have found with the mamas that I mentor, that that's a real struggle. So they end up making some poor choices and the kids are dragged through that and the kids tend to suffer from those choices, and all in an effort for the mama to feel worthy when at the end of the day, we can't find our worth in another person. It has to come from within and knowing who you are in Christ, right?
So how have you seen God's faithfulness through your journey as a single mom?
Oh, wow. That's pretty easy because so many times you just didn't know how you were going to get through the day, whether it was the loneliness or the financial struggle or the overwhelm. There was financial struggles where you just didn't know how things were going to work out financially, and God always came through. I remember when my youngest was wanting to go to college, and certainly I support that. We did all our research and we went to 10 different campuses, and she had gotten accepted into 10 out of 11 colleges she applied to. The one that she decided on, she was in Michigan, and I was in Florida. We were in Florida, and it was a private Christian college, and they wanted her for the basketball team because she is a student athlete. She played basketball in high school. we went there, but it was a D3 school. So there was no financial gain to be a student athlete, but it was her heart's desire. I remember we went up there, they flew us up there to view the college, and we did that for a weekend. I just knew the minute we walked on that campus that that was where my daughter was meant to be. It's just a knowing in your soul when we stepped on. And I didn't tell my daughter how I felt, because I wanted this decision to be hers, between her and God, not between me and her. You know, I didn't want to sway her with my feelings or what I was, you know, going through. We flew home. She had gone to her basketball coach's house over the weekend, and they were mentors to her, the husband and the wife. And I knew that she was talking it over with them. And when she said that, you know, she wanted to go there, we had to send a $200 deposit, which $200 I had. And when I got on the phone with the financial advisor and he was going through the numbers, I just had tears. I was just crying because I thought, you know, no, she doesn't have to go to that college. She could certainly go to the community college, but this is a child that had been through a lot and a lot of adversity as a child, even before my ex-husband left. And she was goal-driven and she was fiery and feisty. I wanted to help her make her dreams come true. And so when this financial advisor was telling us the numbers, it was at the time in 2010, it was $38,000 a year. Never mind all the airfare back and forth and what have you, and winter clothes that we didn't need down here. And yeah, and I remember being on the phone with him and he said, you know, do you think she could get a summer job and then put that like $2,500 towards the first semester? And he just kind of walked me through it to make me see that it was just one step at a time, Annie. It was just, you don't need to know where it's all coming from right now. You need to have a plan and you need to be faithful to the plan, but you don't need to know how God's going to work it out. You know, just trust that if this is where she's meant to be, that God will make a way, because this was never my idea. None of this was my idea. And so we were faithful. And we gave the $200 deposit, and she worked the entire summer, a 40-hour week in a hot, unair-conditioned warehouse, putting printer supplies in boxes. It was just one semester at a time. We got a grant from the college that pretty much was a third of her tuition. And then she was responsible. She had two jobs on campus, and I was responsible for a third of her tuition monthly. We did it. And she had some student loans at the end, and it was never my plan. But she came home here and got a job. She's a teacher, seventh grade teacher. She lived here at home. And in 19 months, she was debt free and had paid off $28,000 of her student loan debt fully. I see God's faithfulness in all of it because I trusted him.
And that's why I wanted to do this series in the first place, is to have a bunch of moms through different parts of life. So there's single moms, there's going to be empty nesters, moms of littles, moms with kids with special needs, all of these. And God is faithful. It's hard. If it weren't for God looking at that, it would be completely unmanageable.
Yeah. And I don't think that in my humanness, I don't think I would have, you know, I would have wanted to control it. I would have wanted to say, no, we can't do that. You know, that'll never work. But I didn't. I just said, okay, God, you know, this is what we're doing. You guide us. You direct us. Show me the way. And one of my biggest things was, and it is today too, is just to stay in today, you know, not let the overwhelm, because overwhelm is, you know, it's real. In everybody's life, you can get overwhelmed no matter what. And so I try and just stay in today. And if I chunk it down into just today, what is it I need to do today and accomplish today, and just give today to God. And then he directs my day. And then I've gotten through a day. And then I can do the next day and the next day. But if I get so overwhelmed, when I saw the tuition number, I was in pure overwhelm and I couldn't comprehend how this single mother with one small income was going to be able to help my daughter get through college and have her dreams realized. And with, you know, our focus being that this is the life God has given us. So how can we be faithful to him? And then he in turn is faithful to us.
Well, you answered my other question without me even having to ask you. But one of the big things with my podcast is yes, talking about God's faithfulness, but also, like you're saying, that we have a responsibility to be faithful as well. And in your case, your biggest faithfulness was just trusting God each day.
I would say yes. And also, I think, especially as a solo mom, knowing that these children are a gift from God, how can I honor God with the gift he has given me, you know, every day? So we get such a very short time with these children, and to make a difference and to make an impact in their lives, really. When I would get overwhelmed in my solo parenting job, I would go, all right, well, I can do this. I got this. Like, these hard decisions I had to make was because I wasn't just doing it for me, or my children. This was because God's entrusted me to be the mama here. So it's with his strength that I do it. And it in turn honors him with the gift he's given me.
It's a huge responsibility, but also a huge blessing to turn that around and give back to God. Just listening to you talk, it gives me courage to continue. You're at a different end of the spectrum than I am with age of kids and stuff like that. And just hearing you talk about it and to trust it, it's like a giving me water to drink to move on and continue. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us and being vulnerable and being honest and letting us know your story.
You're welcome. And that, I think, is why I do what I do. To, if I can do it and I can encourage somebody else, then I'm fulfilling what I'm here to do.
So you chose Romans 8:28 for your verse to close out. Can you tell us a little more about your personal relationship with that verse?
So I knew when I read that verse, all things are going to work together for my good. And so when I had this horrible circumstance, when my life blew apart and the worst that I could imagine happening happened, I had to rely on that, because that was already my life verse before the divorce happened or the separation happened. So I knew that if this was happening, that it was going to work together for my good. Now, I also know that things that I do choose, maybe the wrong choices I choose, all of it works together for my good. And that gives me comfort in knowing that, you know, we're not perfect. And so even when I have made some poor choices, that I still can rest in the fact that he's going to work it out for my good. And so even my single parenting journey, he has worked out for my good. I wouldn't be here talking to you today if it wasn't for the fact that I was a solo mom and now want to help other solo moms and have a podcast, and you have a podcast. And so he's working it out for my good. Something that I thought was going to be the worst thing in my life is now something good and can be good for other people.
Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
This has been episode 48 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled Surviving as a Single Mom with Annie Quinnell. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/48. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.